Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So let's start in London.
Yes. Tally-ho. Tally-ho.
Tally-ho. Mike Vrabel made a very gutsy.
Unbelievable.
Slash stupid.
Yep.
Slash irresponsible decision after, dramatically, Marcus Mariota is ruled down at about, I guess it was the half-yard line. They say his left shoulder is down after it looked like he scored a touchdown that would potentially tie the game up. But after review, they say, no, he's down at the half-yard line. And it takes fourth and goal before they finally punch it in on that play-action touchdown to Luke Stocker, which did a few things. Number one, if you laid the 6.5 with the Chargers, you could wave that one goodbye.
Yes,
indeed. As you know, because I think you took the Chargers playing 6.5.
I did.
But then after Stocker catches the touchdown, okay, fine, we're going to go to overtime. We're going to get a really exciting overtime. And I noticed Vrabel putting two fingers up. And I said, well, what's he putting two fingers up? Is that a signal for something? It can't be he's going for two.
Right.
And they go for two.
And then they get a reprieve.
That's right, because there's a defensive hold called.
Yep.
And then they try it again, and I'm thinking, well, they're going to run the ball, right? Either with Henry or Mariota.
Right.
And no, they got Mariota drop back. He throws into the end zone. It was a wide throw. And so the Titans lose by a point. It's almost like Vrabel just wanted to get out of London as fast as possible.
Yeah, well, look, I think there's situations where you should go for the win. I think when you're a team that's in the mix like the Titans, you know, you're in the game at 3-3 in a division that certainly is up for grabs. I mean, when the division leader is 4-3, you know, you got to play for the overtime there.
Well,
there's certain situations where I would agree. Like tonight, we talked about this. If the Giants are in that situation tonight, I say, you know what? What the hell? Let's go win the game.
I can see it.
Right.
I can see it also because the Giants' attitude may be, boy, if we lose a coin toss, we may not get the ball back.
That's right.
You know, may not be able to stop this Falcon offense.
Right.
The Titans outplayed the Chargers in the second half.
Yep, no doubt.
If any team wanted to avoid overtime, it would be the Chargers. It wouldn't be the Titans. The Titans looked like a better football team in the second half of that game. So I think on a lot of levels, it really didn't make any sense. As a fan, did I like it? Sure, it was exciting.
Yeah.
As a viewer, I enjoyed it.
We're not Titan fans either.
No.
I'm sure we would be screaming if Bowles did that.
Oh, I know I'd be screaming. Because you can separate yourself between, hey, this is how I just feel as a I'm a fan.
Right.
And if I'm a fan of that specific team,
now, if it works, you look like a genius, but it's still not the right move.
Yeah, I mean, if it works out, what I would say this morning is it was irresponsible and he got lucky.
Yep.
That's what I'd say.
Exactly.
I'd be honest.
Yep.
And it didn't work. And the Los Angeles Chargers of San Diego defeat the Tennessee Titans 20-19 in what was a classic London game.
And they won four straight games and they're 5-2, the Chargers.
They're a good football team.
They are.
And they're doing it all without Joey Bosa, which I think makes it even more impressive.
Yep.
You know, we touched on the Patriot Bear game. A couple of things you take out of it. Number one, Mitchell Trubisky. There was one run.
Oh, my God. I just showed it now.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
It was incredible.
And he wasn't even touched on that play. I mean, you look at that play. I've looked at it. I've seen it about 10 times now.
Yes.
He runs all over. I think he ran 80 yards to go like 17 yards or whatever it
basically.
Was.
Basically, it was something similar.
And he never got to, I mean, he basically walks untouched into the end zone.
He also showed, he reminded me of Le'Veon Bell because he showed so much patience, like waiting for his block.
Right, well, he did.
Getting it.
You're right.
So the official stat was he scrambled 71 yards to go 8 yards.
Is that what it was?
71. That was the official stat. But really what changed this game was the Patriots making plays, whether it was the kick return for a touchdown when they were down 17-7.
Yep, no question.
Or Dante Hightower blocking a punt and that being returned for a touchdown that put them up by 7. The Patriots will do many different things to beat you. That's what it comes down
to.
No
question about it.
And it doesn't matter who they're missing. As long as the coach
and the quarterback is there.
Now, I wouldn't even include him. They won without
him. Yeah, that's true. No, it really comes down. You're right. It comes down to the coach. It does. It really does come down to to Belichick.
I don't mean that as any disrespect to Tom Brady's an all-time great, but they've missed him, and they've won.
Look, if you put Bill Belichick, I really believe this, and this is why I say this all the time about how important the head coach is in football. You put Bill Belichick on any team in the NFL, and I'm not saying any team he's going to win a Super Bowl with, but they will overachieve that team.
Yes.
There's no doubt in my mind.
No doubt about it. The Buccaneer-Brown game was something to behold. Give the Browns credit. What I thought was really interesting is they had a fourth and goal from the one-inch line when they were down by 7 with about 5 minutes to go. And Hugh Jackson, who's just an awful head coach. I mean, he really is. He's so bad.
He is awful.
He makes Todd Bowles look like Vince Lombardi.
Wow.
They fail on it, but their defense did such a great job. They forced a 3-and-out. They capped it off with a sack. Peppers had a great punt return. And one play later.
He had a big fumble, too. Peppers.
Yes, he did.
He had a huge fumble.
Yes, that he did have that as well.
Yep.
But he had a good return here, which set him up at like the 10 or 15-yard line. And then Landry popped in for a touchdown. And the Browns did it again. And by doing it again, I mean they lose a painful game and they go to overtime.
Yeah. Was it 3 overtimes for them this
year?
4. 4. Okay.
4 out of their 7 games have gone to overtime.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And they're all ridiculous overtime games with missed field goals and just weird stuff happening. And the weirdest is that Catanzaro misses the 40-yarder to end regulation. He goes out there and he hits a 59-yarder to win.
I couldn't believe they were doing that.
I couldn't believe they were going for it.
Yeah. At that point, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take my if I tie, I tie. Let me, you know, that's it. I was shocked that he went for that, and he made it.
Yeah, it was tough because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers came into this game 2-3, right? So did they fall into the category of a team in a very good division?
Actually, 2-3. They came in into right. They're 2-4.
They came in 2-3.
They're 3-3
now.
Right.
At the time, they're 2-3.
Right.
Do you look at them and say, hey, you can't be playing for the tie if you're the Bucs? It's different. It's a better division. You're in a division with the Saints.
It is true. And the Panthers.
Like, you can't afford a tie. You got to win, so you do have to take that shot. That's why I kind of lean towards take it, because I think going for it on fourth down was going to be too long. Wasn't it fourth and a lot?
Yeah, you couldn't go for it there.
So really it was play for the tie or go for a 59-yard field goal. I think because of where they are, they kind of have to go for it, don't they?
I guess.
At 2-3?
I guess so. You're right. I guess you do.
And it goes back to the whole point of it. It really depends the situation you're in. And for the Browns, here's the other thing about the Browns. First of all, Baker Mayfield gets drilled, just drilled helmet to helmet. They throw a flag, then they pick it up. Are you kidding me?
Are you serious? I didn't see the play.
Oh, my God.
Did they really?
Dude, he got destroyed.
And they didn't call roughing the passer on it?
No, they said, oh, he's a runner. Doesn't matter if he's a runner. The dude went.
Oh, he was running. So he wasn't throwing a pass here. He's running with the ball.
He was running, but the guy launched himself into him.
Unbelievable.
It doesn't matter in that regard.
Yeah, well.
And then the other thing was...
officiating in this league is horrendous.
Well, it's inconsistent.
Well, but that makes it horrendous.
Yes, that's true. It's another variation of the
you're being nice.
Horrendousness.
Right.
Yeah. Saying inconsistent is just another nice way of saying they're horrible. But after the game, Hugh Jackson, who is arguably statistically the worst head coach in the history of the NFL, starts talking about how much he knows about offense and that maybe he's going to take over the offense from Todd Haley. Are you kidding me?
Mm.
First of all, Todd Haley's actually been a really good offensive coordinator or a good offensive coordinator in his time in the NFL. Hugh Jackson was calling the plays last year. He was calling the plays the year before. How the hell did they do? They stink. I mean, at what point do you say to yourself, and I heard Giannotti say something I completely disagree with this morning. He's like, well, you know, they're the Browns. They've won 2 games. They're in a lot of games.
No, you cannot.
No! They're losing games they should win.
Right.
And who is it on?
Right. Of course.
See, we don't just rant against Todd Bowles.
Of course. Yeah, that mindset, that's the losing mindset mentality. You know what I mean? That really, you know, that there's excuses. You're a bad franchise. And it's the same thing with the Jets. You're a bad franchise. You know, you haven't won in a million years. But you're playing hard. You're making progress. What?
No.
What are we talking about here?
I don't think so, man.
You're 100% right.
He should not be allowed to take back the offense. At what point is he held accountable for their win-loss record?
Right.
I don't get it.
Yeah, of course.
And we both thought that Vegas was crazy for the Lions being 3-point favorites.
Well, we were crazy.
We were the nuts ones.
Yeah.
It was a real costful day for the Dolphins, though. Kenny Stills got hurt. Albert Wilson got hurt, and Kerryon Johnson ran all over him.
Yeah.
And you know, what are the Lions? I can't figure them out. Are they good?
Well, I mean, they're not really out of their division race. I mean, they're 3-3, and it just goes to show that, like, you know, we know nothing week to week in this league. What do we know? We know the Patriots are going to be consistently great every year. Outside of that, we know nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, we know nothing. I know the Rams look unbeatable right now. They're a world beater at 7-0. The Chiefs look unbelievable at 6-1. I get all that. But what do we, outside of the consistency of Belichick's Patriots, what else do we know about this league?
Nah, it's tough to figure, man. And they're not only are they in it at 3-3, but they're 1-0 inside the division, which is so important when you have one of these divisional
races. Beat the Packers up in that game.
Yeah, that's the only divisional game they've played. Obviously, they're going to take on the Vikings in a few weeks. We'll see what happens. But they give them a lot of credit, and it looks like they actually have a running game. Kerryon Johnson looked great on the ground. I think LeGarrette Blount punched one in for a touchdown. Good for them. And the Dolphins, I know their record isn't bad. They're not a good football team.
Yeah. No, I agree. I'm with you 100%. And look, Brock Osweiler is playing quarterback for them. I mean, what is the Tannehill situation? It looks like Gage just wants Tannehill out of there. I get that feeling.
Well,
it looks that way.
There's always something wrong with them physically.
Yeah.
And they're the Thursday night game.
Against Houston.
Against the suddenly really good
Red-hot Texans. Correct.
Yeah, they look great against the Jaguars. They made Blake Bortles look awful. And the story about Deshaun Watson is so crazy. Because of this lung rib injury he has, can't fly. So they got him a bus.
Oh, I saw that. He took a 12-hour bus ride to Jacksonville.
He took the bus ride to Jacksonville.
Yes.
How about that?
Yep.
You know what the Texans are doing after their slow start? They're playing the way we all figured they would. They're a talented team.
I agree with you 100%. They are a talented team.
And this is a crossroads moment for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But they're playing a team that's also at a crossroads, and that's the Philadelphia Eagles, who had just a horrendous, horrendous loss where Cam Newton.
Can you figure this to the Eagles out? I mean, to me, it's just a Super Bowl hangover with this team. It really is.
It could be that. Or maybe they're just not that good.
Maybe.
Maybe it's that.
Maybe.
But their defense allowed Cam Newton to have three long fourth quarter drives, including one where he converted on a 4th-and-10. They had a shot at an interception right before that. Cam Newton went out there and he made all the plays. It was a really good job out of him and a great win for the Panthers.
Yep.
And the story was what happened before the game, that Malcolm Jenkins and Eric Reed had a big issue.
They went after it. Yeah, Reed called Jenkins a sell. What did he call him? A sellout?
Called him a lot of things. Right. And to Malcolm's credit, he really, really, really took the high road after the game by saying, "Hey, I got nothing but respect for Eric Reed, and I'm just going to leave it at that," and did not go into the name calling that Eric Reed did.
Yep.
But Eric Reed had one really cool moment in this game. I forget what the play was. I just remember Zach Ertz was ticked off at him, and he went after him. So he's going after him, and Reed notices and puts his head down and flips him over. It's like straight out of a WWE game or a WWE event. But great win by Carolina, man. That's a really – you're down 17-0 to the Philadelphia Eagles on the road.
They've had some wild wins. The 63-yard field goal by Gano over the Giants.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
They've had some crazy wins.
Yep.
And you mentioned the game that advanced you in the knockout pool. The Colts just beat up the hapless Bills.
I had no – I mean, there was like no pressure at all. 37-5. And the Bills, I mean, with Derek, the guy was on the street last week. He's playing quarterback now in the NFL. And you just knew the Colts – you know, you got Andrew Luck on that team at home. You just had to feel like, you know, they I didn't think they'd win 37-5, but I thought they'd win the game.
Now, at 2-5, you give them a shot to get back in this thing? They got the Raiders next week.
I don't love the division. I mean, I don't think they lost the game they lost to Houston. They probably should have won that game, too.
Oh, yeah.
The game that they lost to Houston
in overtime,
at home. So,
dude.
I don't love the Colts, but I don't know how good anybody is in that division.
Yeah, here's the thing, the case you can make for Andrew Luck and the Colts going on a run. They play the Raiders next week. It's on the road, not saying they're going to win the game, but they could.
Sure.
You get that win going into the bye at 3-5. You got three straight home games coming out of the bye. Jacksonville, Tennessee, so right in the belly of the beast, and then Miami. So it's there for them to get back into this thing.
I agree.
It's certainly possible.
You. Yep.
the Raven game.
Oh, my God.
I got to hand it to Justin Tucker, who's one of the great. He's probably, you know, Gostkowski and Vinatieri are put in a different class because of the clutch kicks they've hit.
Right, right.
Tucker, pound for pound, may be the best kicker in the NFL. He's got the strongest leg in the NFL.
He's good.
Guy's never missed an extra point.
Unbelievable.
Joe Flacco leads that offense back like it's no big deal.
Got a big face mask penalty late on Davenport, too, to kind of set that drive up as well.
Of course. I mean, because that's the NFL. Like,
but it was a face mask.
No, it was a legitimate call.
Right, right.
But Flacco acted like he was playing the Broncos in the AFC playoffs a few years ago with the way he marched him down the field.
Yep.
And Justin Tucker, who has never missed an extra point, misses one. But to his credit, and Peter King wrote about this in his column, he went to the Ravens media department and requested that he go on the podium.
Oh, did he?
So
that's
he
a good
talk
job for him.
To the media himself, not them come to him.
Right, right.
And so he could address what happened. And I think it shows a lot from him that he went head on and said, all right, I messed up. You know, I missed the kick. I cost us the game. And took complete accountability for it.
He didn't take the Isaiah Crowell approach. Well, you know, so what? That doesn't really matter.
He took a different approach. All you had to do is look at his face. His eyes were
popping
out of his
head. He couldn't believe he missed that kick. He couldn't believe he missed it. I know.
And I'm sad he did because I was looking forward to it overtime.
Me too. I agree with you.
I looked at that game yesterday, and I say to myself, because we talked about, are the Ravens the only legitimately good defense in the NFL? And I feel like they are after
pretty
that game.
Good. I mean, they held this team to 20, you know, to 24. That's doing something with that offense.
Absolutely. Yeah, I walked away from that thinking, you know what? They do have a big time defense. They held that offense to 24 points.
Right. Yep.
That's not bad.
Not bad.
That's a shame. That's a terrible way for that. That was the wildest ending to a game. I think that was even wilder than the Cowboy Redskin ending, where you get the stupid snapping fraction penalty.
Oh my God, that's just wrong. That's just again, the officiating in this league, I mean, it's a problem. It is they have too much control over the outcomes of these games. I'm sorry. And they miss calls. They make calls they shouldn't make. They miss calls that they should make. We see it over and over and over again.
And here's an underrated call from that game. First down to Cole Beasley. Oh, wait a second. There's a hold on Connor Williams. Sorry about that. Let's push it back a little bit. Next play, strip sack by Carrigan for a touchdown. Yeah.
How
Redskins
often do you
go
see?
Up 10.
And that was some play by Carrigan, too.
Oh, it was a great
because
play.
Dak gets out of the end zone, and Carrigan just his awareness to get the ball and the other guy the ball could not have hit bounced perfectly to whoever the Redskin was that walked in for the touchdown. I mean, it was like, here's the ball.
Hey, that's what happens when you win a division, and maybe the Redskins
right.
are on their way to doing that.
They might be.
And there were other things because now it's 20-10.
And Adrian Peterson had a solid game.
He's played well.
In the games
they've
won, he's been very good. In the games they've won, Peterson's run well. In the two games they've lost, he hasn't been able to run.
He's got more left than I thought. I give him credit.
Definitely.
But how about Alex? Two other things about this game. Alex Smith, who I like, he cannot go out of bounds on that play on third down. What are you doing?
No question about it.
I love that they're throwing the ball. That's great. Go for the jugular.
Dallas kept the timeout with that. They had one timeout left, and they kept it.
But then they proceeded to waste what happened on that final drive. How many plays did they run?
Yeah.
They could have run two or three more plays.
Right.
Plus, they got too conservative. So the snap and fraction penalty was awful, but so was the horrific coaching. Let's talk about another terrible head coach.
He's terrible.
Jason Garrett.
Yeah,
the
only reason this guy's still there is because he's got Jerry Jones as his owner. I mean, that's the only reason. I've said this over and over again. His coach isn't any good. He just isn't.
Okay, the proof of it is what you saw at the end of that game. I mean, how do you only run two plays over, what was it, 35
Something
seconds?
Something like that,
It was 52 seconds to go. They ran two more plays before they finally kicked the field goal or missed the 52-yard field goal.
Yeah.
So it's not just the snap and fraction penalty. The holding penalty on Connor Williams was an absolute killer. The turnover was a killer. And then the coaching and the play calling over the final 52 seconds was abysmal.
Yep.
Was awful.
Awful.
And it's a damaging loss for the Cowboys.
Yep.
And it was weird because on the broadcast, they were making a little bit of a big deal how it's the first time CBS was calling.
Yeah, Cowboys, Redskins in like 40 years or whatever.
It was 92, I think, was the year. So
Sounds right.
They show a highlight. In that game, strip sack for a touchdown recovered by the Redskins. Final score, 20-17 Washington.
Really?
You believe that?
That is something. And that's in the middle of the Cowboys' big run when they won 3 in 4 years, though.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
true.
What it was.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
But a very entertaining weekend. Frustrating if you're a gambler.
And then there were the Rams who just annihilated the Niners.
Oh, God.
The Rams who right now are just, you know.
They're on another planet.
They're on another world.
Todd Gurley just scored another touchdown.
Yep. Yeah, three yesterday,
Yeah. So they won by 29. And then, you know, Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes, who, by the way, shows up to the game wearing a Pat Mahomes Met jersey.
Oh, is that true? Come on. What, did he really?
Yes. Pat Mahomes Mets jersey.
That's unbelievable.
So if you bet the over-under, I'm sorry, Dove, we'll get to your break. If you bet the over-under, all right.
What was it, 55 and a half?
It was 57 and a half.
Wow.
So it's 45-10, 55 points on the board. The Kansas City Chiefs have a first down with 6 minutes to go at the Cincinnati, like, 15-yard line. It's over. I mean, it is a lock that you're getting the over. And they just start running the football. Okay, fine, they'll settle for a field goal. Fourth down with about 4 minutes to go from the six, they just go for it, run it right into the line. Uh-huh. And they don't kick the field goal.
Andy didn't want to rub it in anymore. Or maybe he bet the under.
That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, my God.
You know, I love, you know, betting on games, but that is just an absolute killer.
That's why you cannot. And I like doing the over under bets as far as for the year, wins and losses, over, you know, that kind of over under stuff. Love doing that. Right. You know, get odds. If we get odds in a big playoff game, yeah. Right. You know, I'll take a shot there. Or odds to win the Super Bowl, I'd take a. But to bet football on a regular basis, week to week, is insanity.
Oh, God.
No, it's insanity.
No, you're right. First and 10 from the Cincy 11 with 5:53 to go. Holy crap. I mean, it's over. You won. You got the over.
Right.
Spencer Ware for 4 yards. Spencer Ware for no gain. Spencer Ware for two. Okay, 4th and 4 from the Cincy 5. That's fine. Kick the field goal. We're done. He goes for it. And then the Bengals have a long, agonizing drive to end the game in which they end up with no points. See you later. Good night. Tip your waitress.
Are the Bengals any good in your mind?
I
know you like Andy Dalton, but I mean, how good is the? I know they're 4-3. How good is the Bengals?
I think they're a talented team that will be in this race. That's what I think they are. But they've got flaws. Clearly, yeah. I mean, what we've seen over the last 2 weeks.
Would you take them in a knockout pool this week over Tampa?
I would. Yes, I would.
You would, huh?
Yes. Oh, they're bouncing back at home against Tampa. That's what they do.
I'm very much up in the air.
They'll beat teams
because
I can't take
the Bears. So.
No, I would take. I think Cincy's a good pick off 2 straight losses.
Yeah,
I don't think after losses.
No. It's not about the 2 losses. I worry about how good the Bengals are. You know,
I think they're a 9-win team.
Yeah, okay,
and that's good enough to maybe be in the playoffs, but at least be in a playoff.
I do still have to put the Steelers though, which I may go that route against Cleveland.
Against Cleveland at home.
Yeah,
the rematch after that tie from week one.
I might. I'm thinking about.
I gotta think about that. I lean towards Bengals, but I can understand.
Yeah, I actually agree with you. I do kind of lean toward the Bengals.
Yeah.
Because eventually, you got to believe the Browns will beat Pittsburgh sometime before while we're all still on the earth.
Maybe. Maybe someday.
I'm a little worried about that.
It may never happen. Maybe like the Jets winning a Super Bowl.
It just may not happen. Exactly right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.